This morning, I want to draw your attention to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, beginning at verse 21 to verse 27. Joel chapter 2, verses 21 through 27. Do not be afraid, land of Judah. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Do not be afraid, you wild animals, for the pastures in the wilderness are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit, the fig tree and the Zion and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, people of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full. You will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other people. Never ever again will my people be shamed. I want to share this morning from the subject, Lean on Me. The subject this morning is Lean on Me. In 1887, A.J. Showalter, a composer and teacher, was writing letters of consolation to two former pupils who had suffered death in their families. While he was writing the letters, reminding them that the eternal God is their refuge, and beneath them are his everlasting arms. He was moved by his own thought of a God who holds us through every calamity. When he finished his letters, he sat at his desk and wrote these words to music. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace of mind. Leaning on the everlasting arms. That's what God wants you and I to do. He wants us to lean on him, not just in good times, but also in trying times. God wants us to lean on him during this pandemic. God wants us to lean on him in the aftermath of what happened to George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and so many more. God wants us to lean on him because our black lives matter. We don't spend too much time studying the book of Joel. Joel was a minor prophet who lived during the time of Hosea, most probably in the southern kingdom of Judah. The dismal picture he paints of the plight of God's chosen people is a sad situation. They were being attacked from the north. Their crops were failing from the ravages of locusts prophesied by Moses and then later by Solomon. They were cut off from water supply and suffering from a severe drought. And for a nation of farmers and grazers, that spells serious trouble. How do you overcome that kind of discontent? How do you get up every morning with a positive attitude when everything around you is a mess? How do we stay encouraged when there is brokenness all around us? How do we continue moving forward when we don't live in a nation where there is liberty and justice for all? How do we cope with life when it seems we are hanging on by a thread? In our text this morning, Judah was hanging on by a thread, as the saying goes, and they needed a word from the Lord. And it was Joel who delivered it. God promised to show mercy, to restore their material prosperity, and to bring peace to their nation. All they had to do was lean on him. All they had to do was trust him in the midst of their trials and tribulations. Anybody can praise God in prosperity, but if your praise is tied to your prosperity, You are setting yourself up for many days of discontent. There is a danger in allowing your contentment to become too attached to your circumstances. The Apostle Paul knew something that most of us have missed. He knew how to be content in any circumstance. Listen to what he writes to the church at Philippi when he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked the opportunity." Paul understood that their lack of support for his ministry in the recent past was due to their lack of funds. He is expressing his joy that they are able to keep him once again. He further writes, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." My brothers and sisters, I want you to notice four words in particular coming from Paul's pen. He writes, "For I have learned." The word "learned" implies a process. As Paul grew in his spiritual life, he discovered the truth about contentment. He discovered the truth that eludes so many believers, the truth that we search for in our own way and yet miss. He learned the secret of being content in and through his circumstances. He learned how to lean on God. He learned how to trust Christ through his trials and tribulations. We love to boast about how we can do all things through Christ who gives us our strength. But do we really understand what it means? If we were to paraphrase it, it would read, "I can endure any circumstance without losing my peace and joy because of the strength I gain through my personal relationship with Christ." Let's take a closer look at this secret that Paul knew. The same secret that Joel was trying to teach the struggling nation of Judah. There are three powerful truths that you and I have to be willing to accept if we are going to lean on God, if we're going to trust God through all of our trials and tribulation. The first thing you and I must recognize is that real contentment hinges on what's happening inside of us and not around us. We like to think that our contentment hinges on our ability to control what's going on around us. And we spend a lot of time trying to control our environment and the people in it. But real contentment hinges on what's going on inside, not outside. Think about it. When we become discontent, the first thing we lose is our peace and joy. But the scriptures teach us that peace and joy are fruits of the Spirit. And if their source is the Holy Spirit, then when we lose our peace and we lose our joy, they are not fruits of the Spirit, but fruits of good circumstance. If your joy is so fragile that it can be destroyed by trials and tribulations, you will never be content in any circumstance. That's certainly not the kind of peace and joy that Paul knew. And it's not the kind of peace and joy that God was sharing with Judah through Joel. We must stop blaming our circumstances for our lack of peace and joy. We have to take the blame for our own weak faith, which fails to trust God even in lean times. Secondly, we must understand that contentment is need, not want oriented. God promised to meet all of Judah's needs. He was going to take care of them. Paul knew this as well. Most of our discontent stems from not getting what we want. God promised to meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. As long as our peace and joy are tied to getting what we want, we will find ourselves on a spiritual roller coaster. God knows what you and I need. He also knows what you and I don't need, even better than we do. He knows the payments for that new big screen TV will keep you from paying your rent on time. He knows that the bigger house is more than you can handle. He knows that you want a Mercedes ride, but you have a Kia budget. He knows that you like the latest fashions and they make you feel good, but he also knows that Walmart and Kohl's fit your money. Ask yourself this question: is God meeting my needs? If the answer is yes, stop right now and thank him. Don't let your emotions attach themselves to your wants. Rejoice today that God is meeting your needs. Third and finally, our contentment is simply a matter of trust. If we really trust God and we believe that he has our best interest in mind, when things fall apart outside, they don't have to fall apart inside. Contentment is trusting God even when things seem out of control. Discontent is a lack of faith in God's love and concern for us. When we express discontent, we are accusing God of not loving us enough or not caring about us. Discontent makes us do some crazy things. Discontent translates into a burning desire to control the people around us. We become manipulative and we ruin our relationships. Discontent clouds the decision-making process and makes it hard for us to wait. Have you ever noticed how bad your car looks after you visited a new car dealership? Discontent distorts our view of God. Prayer and worship and Bible study and church attendance become a means to an end in order to get God to change what we think we need. Faith becomes a tool to use to move God in our direction. Some Christians treat God like an automatic teller machine, and they spend their lifetime trying to figure out the secret PIN number that will bring them their jackpot. God sent a message to Judah to lean on him, to trust him through their trials and tribulations. And his promises are true. If he says he will bring you through, he will bring you through. Don't wait till your battles are over to thank him, because you can thank him right now. Thank him this day for your daily bread. Thank him for the shelter that's over your head. Thank him for your friends and your family who surround you with love. Thank him that you live in a nation where you can worship him freely, and then trust him. Trust him through every trial. Trust him through every economic downturn. Trust him through every loss. Trust him through every change. Trust him through every challenge. And finally, continue to lean on his everlasting arms. God bless you. May the Lord continue to add a blessing to his preached word, that we may draw from it anytime our well gets empty.